Welcome to the Sicha this week. We're learning Sicha Beis of Parshas Miketz in Chelek Yod on page 136. It's a Sicha here on a Rashi in this week's Parsha. Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim, vayitzakom al parei lalecha. People of Mitzrayim were all hungry in the years of the hunger, and they came to parei, they were crying to parei for food. Vayem parei lachom Mitzrayim, luchu al Yosef, asher yem lachem tasu. Go to Yosef, and whatever he tells you, you should do. Upirish Rashi. So Rashi explains here, Lachrei shemefarish tchilas haposek, after he explains the beginning of the posek. Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim, that they were all hungry. Maitik seifi dekra, asheyem alachem tasu. So Rashi brings from the posek the last words, that whatever Yosef tells you, do. Umefarish, and Rashi explains as follows. Lefi shahaya Yosef, oimalem shiyamulu. Because Yosef had told them that they should all make a bris. And so they came to Pare and they told Pare, this is what he's demanding of us. So Pare tells them, go back to Yosef. In the continuation of the Sicha and Siv Gimel, the Rebbe will bring the rest of the Rashi and go through what Rashi says there. But here, in the first part of Rashi, what we see is that Rashi is adding to the Pasuk that they didn't come first to Pare. First they went to Yosef. Then Yosef demanded of them to make a bris, so they were not happy with that. Then they went to Parei, and Parei told them to go back to Yosef. So the obvious question here is, Haloi b'posik siv, v'yitzakom el Parei l'alechem, v'yem b'parei l'chol Yosef. So the posik is saying, they cried to Parei. Shu'al pi amiras Parei l'Yosef l'fneze, and we understand this based on what Parei told Yosef before this, v'al picho yishak kol ami, that the reason why Parei is sending them to Yosef is because Parei already told Yosef that you're going to be the one that's going to lead the nation in all areas and everything. What happened over here, that they came to Parei and Parei sent them to Yosef, is very simply understood. Why is it necessary for Rashi to explain anything in the pasuk here? What's Rashi saying here? Rashi is saying that they came first to Yosef, and then they went to Parei, and then Parei sent them to Yosef. Why does Rashi have to say any of this? What the pasuk says is very simply understood. Even if there is some source and there is some reason why Rashi has to say this, Rashi already told us the basis of everything he tells us in the pshat of the pasuk, and Rashi says this more than once. Rashi only mentions the pshat of the pasuk or any medrash that will fit into the pshat of the pasuk. If so, the question over here is, Uminol ele Rashi bipshute shom mikra, shemikoidim lezeh, hoye wetzel Yosef, vishay Yosef amalem, shayemulu, vishayachaka cholchol pare. Where does Rashi see this here in the pasuk? That first they came to Yosef, and Yosef demanded of them that they should make a bris. And then they came to Parei, and Parei told them to go back to Yosef. Where do you see this in the pasuk? In the pasuk it says they went to Parei, and Parei sent them to Yosef. Gam kosha, question of here as well is, Adarab, Meloshna Kosov, Shapare Omelem, Ashe Yoima, Loshin Osit, Lochem Tasu. The Pasuk says that Pare is telling them in a future tense, go to Yosef, and whatever he demands of you, you'll have to do. Veloi, Ashe Oma, Loshin Ova. Not that Pare is responding to what they told Pare, that Yosef had already demanded us to make a bris, and Pare is telling them you have to listen to what Yosef had already told you. So mashmash adaylo emblem Yosef dover b'yinze. So from the lashon of the pasuk we see Yosef didn't say anything yet. Rashi is saying no, this is already in the middle of a conversation here. In other words, the middle of a story. They came to Yosef first, and then they came to Parei, and Parei is telling them you have no choice, you have to listen to Yosef. So why does it say in the pasuk in the future tense, asher yoimar lachem tasu? Hine yesh mefarsh. There are those that explain. It's the extra words here in the pasuk that it says what Parei answered them that forces us to say that they were already by Yosef and they already had a discussion with Yosef. Why? If we're going to say that, like it sounds like from the words of the pasuk, that they came first directly to Parei, v'hu sholchem achar kach liYosef, and it's Parei that sent them afterwards to Yosef, so the pasuk should have just simply said l'chul Yosef v'sulay, that he told them go to Yosef and that's it. The fact that he adds and says, that Pari added and said, Asher yoymar lechem tasu, whatever Yosef tells you you should do, why is the Pasuk adding that? If you go to Yosef, so that's it. Go to Yosef, will take care of everything. Why does the Pasuk have to add this detail? Move on. Shehem kvar hoyo etzel Yosef. Because this is where Rashi takes his pshat from, that they were already by Yosef. Vishuhu amalem dovah shalei rotzel lasas. And he required of them to do something that they weren't interested in. So therefore, Pari tells them, you have no choice. You have to listen to Yosef. So Rashi's raya is from these extra words, Asher yoymar lechem tasu, which Rashi actually quotes in his Dibur HaMaschil. Avol kosher lefarish kein, it's difficult to say that this is Rashi's hechrech for his pshat. Ki neisef lezeh shen legam lefi pirish zeh. So we could say that we have a raya from here that there's some demand that Yosef had already made from the Mitzrayim. And Pari is telling them, you have to listen. But how do we know that that was to make a bris? Where does Rashi have a remes for this, that Yosef demanded a bris mila? Aleph, and so we have the following questions here. The Lashon HaKosov, Asher Yoymar Geimer, as Rebbe pointed out before, Yoymar, in future tense, Muchach Kanal, Shadayin Loy Omelam Yosef Adova Shalem Lasis. So L'chayit, it's clear that Yosef did not tell them anything yet. He's going to tell them in the future. Pari is telling them whatever he's going to tell you, then you have to listen. So how could Rashi say different than the Lashon of the Pasuk, Yoymar? Beis, looking into the way Rashi writes his Piddush. So let's see what Rashi says. Be'im Rayasa Shal Rashi. Shehoye Yosef Oyim Elehem Chulu Himizeh Shepare Hoye Tzorech Letzavos Sheyasu Kamiris Yosef. Rashi's Raya is from the very fact that it's necessary not only for Pari to tell them to go to Yosef, but also to spell out that you have to listen to what Yosef will command you. Even though he's already been appointed to take care of all the matters of Mitzrayim. If that was Rashi's Raya, then Rashi would have written his pshat interpreting these words, these extra words, and Rashi would say, and Rashi would say that from these extra words, I learn that Yosef had to make a demand from them, and they have to listen to Yosef. That's what Pari is telling them, you have to listen to Yosef. But that's not the way Rashi writes his Piddush. Miloshin Rashi. The language of Rashi is Lefi Shehoye Yosef Aymechulu. So Rashi over here is saying, since they already had the conversation with Yosef and Yosef made a demand, then they came to Pari and Pari told them go back to Yosef. And Rashi continues going, as we'll see soon, the continuation of the Rashi. So what is it? What do you see from this? Muchach Shezeh She Yosef Amalem She Yemoylu Eine Inyan Anilmed Mitev Eselu. This detail that Yosef had demanded of them to make a bris, that's not what you learn from these extra words. This is something that we know otherwise. Umuvakan, and Rashi is beginning with this, Bitur Hagdome, it's as an introduction, Shal Piv Yuvon Shatevis, Ashayem Lechem Tasu, Pirushon Sha'omar Lehemchulu. So this is just the beginning of what follows, that Pari told them, and what comes later on in the Rashi, as we'll see the Rebbe quotes in the next Sif over here, that Sheyayim Alachem Tasu is not this. It's not referring to the Bris. It's referring to the continuation that Rashi says later. Because when Rashi brings here, Lefi Shehoye Yosef Oymelem, Lefi sounds like Rashi is beginning the point by giving this introduction and then coming to the final pshat, which is negeya to the meaning of the words, Asher Yoyim Lechem Tasu. It comes only later in the Rashi. So not that these words, Yoyim Lechem Tasu, means that he told them to make a bris. So if so, where does Rashi take this from? Where does Rashi take the fact that he already spoke to Yosef, and Yosef told him to make a bris, that we already know this? How do we know this? L'halom b'amshuch pirish Rashi zeh oymer. So now let's see the continuation in Rashi. What exactly did Pari tell the Mitzrim? So they told Pari that Yosef is telling us we have to make a bris. Pari tells them, why didn't you gather any grain? Didn't he announce and let you know in advance that the hunger years are coming? The Mitzrayim answered, Asafnu harbe, we gathered a lot of grain, v'hirkiva, and it all rotted. So Pari said to them, if that's the case, in Cain, whatever he'll tell you, you better listen. He decreed on the grain that you gathered that it should rot, and it did. What's if Yosef will decree that we should die? We'll all die. So you better listen to what Yosef tells you. This was Pare's response to the Mitzrayim. The Gambazek Koshulahovin, here as well, it's difficult to understand. Where does Rashi take this entire conversation from? And this entire response of Pare. Aleph, Kidle El, as we pointed out, Minole Loichiach Mimashmos, Akosov Lifipshutai, is called Divya Shaklavatarish and Pareva Mitzrayim. Where do you see any remnants in the pasuk for this entire discussion? Sha'arei ein kosov b'kra ela vayitza ka'om el pare lalechem. They asked for bread. They needed bread, food. And Pare told them, go to Yosef for your food. That's it. Rashi creates a whole conversation there that the Mitzrayim had with Pare and Pare's response, all these details. Where does Rashi take this from? Beis, l'achre shomra mitzrim kifi pirish Rashi, asafna arbetvua verkiva. So Rashi says, they told Pare, we did gather a lot of the grain and it all rotted. Vaseh eshev lem Pare, and Rashi and Pare answers them, im kain, hainu, mekivin shein lem malecha, since they have nothing to eat, it all rotted. Hare in lehem, ein lefneem b'rei racheres, they have no other choice. Ele akola shiyem lechem tasu. Whatever he'll tell you, you have to do. Ma choser ba'avonas pshute shel mikra shel lechein meisef harei goza chulu ma'am yigzaleinu v'nomus. What else is missing over here? Even if this part of the conversation happened, they pointed out to Pare that they have no bread, and Pare was wondering, what do you mean you have no bread? You didn't prepare for this hunger in advance. So even if we're going to say that they explained Pare, we did prepare, but we don't have. So kut, so I don't have anything to eat. So Pare tells them, if you have nothing to eat, Yosef is the only one that gathered grain and his grain did not rot, you have no choice, you gotta go to Yosef. What else is missing here? What else does Rashi have to add that Rashi says that Pare explained to them that he could also decree that you should die? Where does Rashi take this from? Gimel, Rashi, Yosef aloshna kosov, kol ashayomar. Whatever Yosef will tell you. Why does Rashi add this detail of kol ashayomar? And the pasuk it says, ashayomar lachem tasu. Dalid, oleinu. Pare says, Koilul Atzmei Gamken. He includes himself and says, what will be if Yosef will decree that we should die? Olachayre, Pare ma'an yoni l'gzeire. Why is Pare including himself in this? The people came, the Mitzrayim came and asked for food, so he's explaining to Mitzrayim that you should go to Yosef, but Pare wasn't part of this. Pare had what to eat. So why is Pare including himself in this gzeire? Hey, Misa man d'char shmei. Why is Rashi going so far to say Misa? That Pare said that he could also decree that you should die. Why would Yosef do such a thing? Why would Yosef make a gzeira that they should all die? Hey, Nemes, Shepirish Hazeh, Bechlalusoy, Pirish Rashi Shalafaneinu, Mekayre B'Medrash. Now, regarding all these questions here, the source of Rashi is in the Medrash. Avot, Halo Yedua Aklal, Shakol al Rashi B'Pirushe, Shemevi Droshas Razal, Rakbe Mukhruchul, Yashav Divra, Mikra, Leifanov Kanal. Rashi only quotes a Medrash if the words of the Medrash is not just a drush, but it fits into the pshat of the pasuk. So if Rashi quotes this Medrash, there has to be some way where we can see this in the pshat of the pasuk. How? Oy tzarich lahavin b'toichin ve'inyin pirish Rashi v'amedrash. Now let's look more in general, but again to the general content of what this Rashi and Medrash are saying. Aleph, maha yataymah shal Yosef b'drishosim ha'mitzrim sheyemaylu. Why taka did Yosef demand of the Mitzrayim that they should all make a bris, or befrat, heipach ritzayinam, against their will, eze teyeles tagia mizeh. What exactly is Yosef gaining by this demand that they're all going to make a bris? Beis, another question, ala posik va'ach es dimchem l'nafshiseichem edrish. Earlier in Parshas Noach, it says, the Eibush says, I will demand the blood of your nefesh. What is this referring to? Pidish Rashi. So there Rashi explains, Shadimchem Hainu Ashoifich Dam Atzmai. This means if a person even spills his own blood, the Eibishter does not allow this. Zayse Meres. Shal Piderech HaPshat, in the Pshat, the way Rashi explains that Pasuk there, Osra Teira Lishpoich Dam Atzmai, a person is not allowed to spill his own blood. Af Shalayave Adei Zeluchayli Eilemise, even if when he spills his blood, he's not bringing an illness upon himself, he's not killing himself. Just like the Isser that it says there in the Pasuk not to eat or drink any blood. Not to drink any blood from a living being. Over here as well, a person is not allowed to spill his own blood. The Rebbe parenthetically adds over here, Benigea to the mitzvah of Bris that Avram Avinu fulfilled. We could now explain if this is true, this pshat here, now we see this Rashi, so we can understand now the question that many have asked. Why did Avraham Avinu not fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah before he was commanded? Avraham Avinu fulfilled Kol HaTorah Kula before he was commanded, before it was given. So why didn't he fulfill the mitzvah of Bris? He waited until the Eibishter gave him the mitzvah. So the answer is, Ki hulafish and it's stave lo lishpich dame. He was commanded not to spill blood, not even spill of his own blood. Upashit she'ein makim ve'ein zehidr l'kayim mitzvah sheloi nitna kishin etzdava sheloi lasaisai. He can't go ahead and fulfill a mitzvah which he wasn't commanded, and he's only doing it on his own as a hidr to do what he wants to do without being commanded. He can't do that on the expense of not fulfilling a mitzvah or going against what he was commanded to not spill his blood. So he couldn't do the mitzvah. He was commanded not to spill his own blood. Once he's commanded on the mitzvah of Bris Milah, so that completely removes the iser of spilling his blood. So only then could he fulfill the mitzvah. So we see over here that there's an iser of spilling blood. Move on. If so, it's not understood. How is Yosef demanding of the Mitzrim that they should all make a bris? So they're all of these Mitzrim are commanded not to spill blood. So how is Yosef demanding them to do something which is against one of the mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach were not allowed to spill any blood? So to answer all these questions, so the Rebbe here had many questions, about 9 or 10 questions on this Rashi. Really, the main point here the Rebbe is saying is that the whole Rashi seems to be extra. The Pshat and the Pasuk is clear, without Rashi saying one word, and Rashi creates an entire conversation, and Rashi creates a whole new part of the story that doesn't say in the Pasuk. They went first to Yosef, then they went to Pare, and there was a demand for a bris. And Pari says that he could threaten you to kill you all, Gzeira of Misa. Where does Rashi take all of this from? So the explanation here is as follows. Ala Pasik, the Pasik we quoted before, Atotiyal Besi Valpicha Yisha Kolami, that you are appointed on my people, and according to you, Yishak Kolami. What does the word Yishak mean? Pirish Rashi, Yishak means Yitzan Yisparmas. You will be the one that will feed all the people. All of the needs and the food of my people, you will be the one to take care of them. That was Yosef's position, to take care of all the needs of the Mitzrayim, including food and everything else. Yosef accepted this position. And this was well known to all the Mitzrayim, as it explains in the Psukim where it says, Vayetze Yosef, Vayava Becholeretz Mitzrayim, and Yosef was paraded around the whole Mitzrayim. They saw that he was appointed to this position. And then, Vayitzba Yosef Bar, Kachoyla Yom Harbegeimer, and Yosef gathered all the grain, a tremendous amount of grain for the hunger years. So this was something that was public knowledge. Everybody knew Yosef's position, that he is the one that has all the food to provide for them. And now, if so, when they were all hungry, and they came, and they screamed, to who? To Pari. Why are they coming to Pari to ask for bread? All their food, all their parnasa is going to be provided to them through Yosef. Why didn't they go directly to Yosef? What is the pasuk saying? They came to scream to Pare. So this is where Rashi takes the first and main point of his pirish, shekitzer akosav bedover aposhet, that the Torah summarized and did not spell out something that's obvious. Shebevadai mitchila bo etzel Yosef levakish mazin. They definitely first did come to Yosef and asked Yosef to give them the food. Ki hu ashalat pachol eretz Mitzrayim. He is the ruler. When Yosef did not want to give them the food unconditionally, so then they came to cry to Pari. So now the big question becomes, how does Yosef not fulfill his job and provide them the food? This is he accepted this position. So here we must say, there's something that Yosef had demanded from them. and it's not a wonder that Yosef is demanding something in return for the food that he's giving them. Al derech shemetzinu shekanu bekesef echulu. We see that even when he provided the food for them, it was for a price. So over here, there must be something that Yosef had demanded for them in return for the food. Sheim lo yiskimu lasay, saying they didn't agree. Elochein holchul itzakal pari malkom. So they went to Pari, their king, to go and intercede on their behalf because Yosef didn't want to give them the food unconditionally. So, in the simple pshat of the pasuk, the fact that they came to Paroi, this shows that something happened over here. They must have first been by Yosef. That was the regular seder, to go to Yosef to get food. So it must be that Yosef didn't want to give them the food unconditionally, and they came to Paroi to intercede on their behalf. So what is this demand that Yosef asked them from them that they didn't want to fulfill? If you look at the parshis and the psukim that we have already learned before, before this pasuk here, move on. It's self understood that the demand of Yosef was that they should make a bris. How do we see this? So the explanation is as follows. When the Eibishter commands Avram to make a bris for himself and the people of his household, Omar loy bepash slech lecha, the Eibishter tells him, Himoil, Yimoil, Yilid, Beischa, Omiknas, Kaspcha, Geme. All the people in your house, all the servants that you acquired, that you own them, they should all make a bris. Shebepashtus, and it's understood, Atam al tzivi zehu, the reason for this mitzvah is to include everybody else in his household and everyone he owns. Yilid, Beisai, Omiknas, Kaspai, the people that are born in his house, that he owns, and people that he owns in his house, they're in his possession, they're subordinate to him. So therefore, they're part of what they're tafel tavram of yinu lochein mutal olav achiyov shehim oyim lochalechet vachet mehem. And therefore, the Eibishter says, those that are tafel to you, that belong to you, or are tafel to you in your possession, those are the ones that are included in your mitzvah to see to it that they should also have a bris. So based on this, this applies to Yosef as well. Yosef is the ruler on the land. And he was appointed over the people in Mitzrayim. To the extent that no one can raise his hand and feet to do anything without Yosef's permission. They were under his control and in his possession, like when you own a servant, like someone that you acquired. Yosef had full control over their lives. So im kein, hasvara nesenes b'pshuta shal mikre, sheyeshal of chiyuv leishtadl sheyiyun imaylam. That's logical to say that Yosef had an obligation to make an effort to see to it that they should all make a bris. So therefore, like Avraham Avinu, those that are tafel and are under the shus of Avraham Avinu is part of the mitzvah of himo yimol yilid beischa, so on. So the same thing applies over here with Yosef and all the mitzvahim. With this we'll understand better the way Rashi puts this. Yosef was telling them. He was always telling them this. Rashi doesn't simply say that Yosef told them. He made this demand once. Ela oimer, between this, he would constantly demand this of them. So he said, "Meres," meaning shaloy pa machasam lem shiyem mailu. It wasn't a one-time thing that he demanded. Ela shayet teveyem em tomid. He would constantly tell them and encourage them to make a bris. Ukamuvam beyesaseis beis shehechal arav. And he definitely intensified his demand when the hunger began. Uboel betu hashalat ala aretz. And now they come to him for the food because he's the ruler. He's the only one that asks the food for them. So here he was able to demand much stronger that they should make a bris. So this was a constant demand because Yosef wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of making a bris for all miknas kaspacha, which in this case includes all of the people in Mitzrayim. You say to Mizu, even more so, al pi anal, shemechuyev Yosef leishtadl shiyemailu. So Yosef is obligated to make an effort that they should all make a bris. Muchrach leimar, so we must say, shekeshechazak harav beretz Mitzrayim. So when the hunger was very strong and they didn't have what to eat, umuchrachem hayaluftnes al Yosef, and they must come to Yosef, mechuyev haya Yosef leilimke bekesef achulu. So Yosef is obligated to use this opportunity and not give them the food or sell them the food for money, to use out this opportunity to fulfill his mitzvah to get them to make a bris. So that's exactly what Yosef did. So based on what we learned in Parshas Lech Lecha, we could understand that this was the condition that Yosef set to be able to get food from him. So this is the first part of the story. How we know that they came first to Yosef, and Yosef made a demand, and they didn't want to fulfill it, and we now know why the demand was specifically to make a bris. So now they come to Pare. Pare should intercede on their behalf. And why doesn't Pare, why does Pare refuse to help them? They come and they cry to Pare. Shehu HaMelech, he's the king after all. V'Yosef Urak Mishnah LaMelech. Yosef is only the second in command. U'Pare Yomelem L'chu El Yosef Hashiyem L'chem Tasu. And Pare refuses to help them out. Haine Shehu Pare Einem Esare B'zeh, he's not getting involved. V'lo Yitzaves Yosef Shitlem Mozen, he will not command Yosef to give them any food. V'gamem Lo Yomelu, even if they don't have a bris. Move on. Pare has to give a reason. Why aren't you interceding on our behalf? After all, Pare is the king. Yes, he appointed Yosef to take care of all matters of Mitzrayim, but Pare does have the ability, in an unusual circumstance, when they felt Yosef is making an unreasonable demand, to intercede on their behalf. Why is Pare refusing? They don't have food. They're all going to die. So therefore, Rashi has to explain why Pare just tells them, L'chu. In other words, if we were to say that this that Pari sends them to go to Yosef was simply because Pari is telling them, why are you coming to me? I already appoint somebody to take care of this. I appointed Yosef. Why don't you go to Yosef? So then Rashi would not have to add anything why Pari is sending them to Yosef. Self-understood. But what happened over here, they were already by Yosef. And Yosef made an unreasonable demand in their mind. And that's why they came to Pari to intercede on their behalf. And still Pari, being a king, having the ability to intercede on their behalf, is sending them back to Yosef. Here, Pari has to, has to explain why is Pari refusing to help them out. So therefore, Rashi explains, Hare gozar ala tvue vehirkiva, that he decreed on the grain that it should rot, and it did. Kalayma. If you're coming to me to ask for bread, it's because of the natural disaster that there was then, the hunger, and you're coming to me for bread because of this natural disaster. So then there's room for me to intercede on your behalf, to help you out, and to command Yosef to give you bread without unconditionally. But if the reason that you have nothing to eat is all supernatural, they all gathered grain, and Yosef decreed that it all rotted, so it's the gzeira of Yosef, so then why should I intercede on your behalf? What benefit is there if I'm going to tell Yosef and I'm going to force his hand to give you food unconditionally? He's going to give you food, a pitzivi pari, because I'll force his hand. Pari will force his hand. But what's going to happen? Yigza shiyurkev gam barzeh. And then he'll decree that this that I forced him to give you, it'll also rot. You still won't have what to eat. So Pari was explaining then, there's no point in me helping you out here. I have no power in this. Because you can see here that Yosef has supernatural powers to cause all your grain to rot. So therefore I can't help you out. So therefore, Pare refused. Avol, ein tamzeh maspikla. This is not yet enough for Pare to push them off. Shaharei, l'sho, ache tirkav, bavade toil. At least for temporary relief, to have what to eat, to get food for today, and be able to eat the food which is still fresh, it'll be a benefit. And the gam achakach, and even Pare says that, look what happened. He decreed that the food that you gathered had already rotted. So even afterwards here, ulai lo yigzav v'chulu, how do you know for sure that Yosef will decree again, if you're going to force him to feed us, that the food should rot again? Maybe he won't. And even if he will decree that the food should rot, lo yisidu dava, what do you have to lose? Meanwhile, we'll have what to eat for today, and whatever will rot, so it'll rot. But we need at least immediate relief to eat something, and we're not ready to fulfill his unreasonable demand to make a bris. So, Pare pushing them off, saying that potentially Yosef could decree that the food that I'll force him to give you, will rot, is not enough of a reason that he shouldn't intercede on their behalf. So therefore we have to say, Shiyesh b'zeh b'tzivuya l'achriyach es Yosef, chshash lehezik v'hefzit l'gabi matzavam b'eis sakosam l'lechem. Misa b'meshach hazman b'rov. We must say that there is something that they stand to lose here, if Paray is going to go and try to force Yosef's hand. They're in a situation that there's a hunger, and if they're not going to get food over time, they're all going to die. But they stand to lose something if Paray is going to intercede on their behalf. What is this? Ve'ein hezek gadol mizeh, ela misa tekef. There's no greater hezek than the fact that they may die, but they have time. Over here, though, Yosef could decree that you're going to die immediately. So me interceding on your behalf is not only, I have nothing to lose, at least get us temporary relief, let's try our best. No, if I'm going to intercede on your behalf, there's a big concern that perhaps he'll decree and you'll die immediately. So therefore Rashi has to add this, She'ein lo shlita Yosef, Paray is explaining why he's sending them away. I can't even help you. I don't want to give you even temporary relief. Letzavis alav davish and negative tzayinai. I can't command Yosef to do something against his will. Vadera benapichu. It's the opposite. Kivin shebekoicha. She Yosef ligzachulu. Yosef has the power to decree upon us different things. So umam yigzav enomus. I can't force his hand. If I do, what happens if then he decrees that we all die? That's why Rashi must add this. Because without this, there's no reasonable explanation why Paray, being the king, did not intercede on their behalf. Elamai, it must be that he has no power over Yosef, and it's not a situation where they have nothing to lose and try your best. No, there is a concern that they may die. Sorry, missed the paragraph. Let's go back up. Avol adayim makam lahashiv. However, you can still, the mitzvah that is, could still answer Paray back as follows and say to him, Kivin sheyosef tzadiku. They knew who Yosef was. They saw Yosef was a righteous man. Shalachain gzeres shaloim meskaimos. And therefore his decrees are fulfilled. Eich shash sheyigza misal ha'om. Why would he decree that all the mitzvahim should die? They're not forcing him. They're not going to be the ones to force him to feed them and commanding him to feed them. Right, so they're not going to die. Paray, he's the one that's forcing them. So you're saying that we have what to lose because we're going to die. The Mitzrayim are going to die. They're not. Why would Yosef decree that they should die? Paray is telling them, no. It's I'm myself as well. Shehua machriach. You're asking me to go and force Yosef's hands. I'm forcing you to do something against his will. So me, together with all of you, us, we will die. Veheim shegar mulakach. You're causing me to go and force him to give you the food. So Yosef will decree that we should all die. That's why Paray is including himself in this. Because it's not just that Yosef will unreasonably make a decree that the Mitzrayim should die. But here, as a result of Paray forcing his hands, Yosef might decree on Paray, along with the Mitzrayim that are causing Paray to go and force Yosef, that they should all die. So now this detail here. That he doesn't want to force Yosef because in the future, you never know what he can decree upon them. This is hinted in the fact that the pasuk uses the future tense, what he's going to say to you. And as the Rebbe pointed out in the beginning of the Sikha, according to Rashi, Paray was telling them not only that you have to listen to what Yosef is going to tell you in the future, but Paray was also telling them that you have to listen to what Yosef said in the past to make a bris mila. But why does the pasuk emphasize the future? So this expression of Yomer in the future means shekavanosai, that Paray is telling them, he's not only referring to the conversation in the past, which is the bris mila, he's telling them it's not only about the past, it's also about the future. Whatever he's going to tell you in the future, you're going to have to do as well. Why is the pasuk emphasizing that detail? Why is Paray concerned and pointing out to them the fact that he may also make an additional demand of them in the future? So lechein, mefarish Rashi, shebeloshen, asher yoyim alechem ba'osed tasu, merumez hatam shemuchrochem lasis k'meisham alem Yosef. By using the future tense, that Yosef could make demands in the future, and he could tell you something more than what he already demanded in the past, this is hinting, Paray is hinting to them the reason why he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't have any ability to force Yosef's hands to do anything against his will. Why? He may actually now say something in the future that he did not demand before. So if that's the case, even regarding an einish, regarding a decree of that they may die, so Parei is telling them to go and fulfill what Yosef had demanded of them in the past. However, Parai is also pointing out the future, because that's really the main reason why Parai doesn't want to get involved. He's not only telling them, go fulfill what Yosef said. No, they're asking him, come and get involved. This is an unreasonable demand. Help us out. Says Parai, because if you're not going to listen to Yosef, so looking at the future, you don't know what Yosef is going to demand in the future. You don't know what he could decree upon us in the future. That's the main reason why Parai didn't want to get involved. Therefore, the Pasuk uses a future tense in the Lashon of Yom Alechem Tasu. And L'chayre, this is also the Lashon that Rashi adds the word kol. Well, the Rebbe doesn't clearly explain what's his answer to why Rashi adds the word kol, meaning to say, Parai was saying, we don't know what Yosef is going to say in the future. It's not only, right now you have this demand that you know that he made in the past. You know exactly what his demand is. To make a bris, go ahead and make a bris and it's over with. But if you're not going to listen to that demand, and you want me to intercede on your behalf, and now it's going to be a new fight here with Yosef, and I'm going to try to force his hands, you don't know what he's going to say in the future. So it's not a, Rashi does say specifically that he may even make a decree that we should die. But it's not only that. It's in general, Parai is telling them it's smarter to listen to the demand that Yosef had already said in the past, because you don't know what he's going to say in the future. And then you're going to be forced to listen to him, call whatever he may tell you in the future. Besides the simple pshat that the Rebbe explained here beautifully, the whole conversation, how we see this in the Pasuk, we also have Yena Shel Torah. So, but before we go to the Yena Shel Torah, just let's review very quickly here how the Rebbe explained this Rashi. The fact that it says that they came to Parai is the unusual thing that Rashi sees in this Pasuk. Why are they coming to Parai if everybody knew Yosef is the one that takes care of all of their food and their parnasa? That's where Rashi begins his pshat, that there must be that they came to Parai for a specific reason. They went to Yosef, Yosef made an unreasonable demand in their mind to make a bris, and therefore they came to Parai. Okay? And then we know that why that Yosef's demand was the bris, as the Rebbe explained, because that was Yosef's mitzvah, that they should all make a bris. And that Rebbe also explained beautifully why Rashi takes this conversation and this answer of Parai to such an extent to say that Parai is telling that they might die, Yosef made the decree on them they should die, because Parai has to explain why as a king he's not interceding on their behalf in such an unusual circumstance. They're not coming to Parai stam. They came to Parai after they were by Yosef, and now they're coming to Parai. So now Rashi has to explain why is Parai refusing. And Rashi says, Parai had a good reason, because by him interceding on their behalf might make matters worse, as the Rebbe explained there. So now the Yeinu Shel Torah, Mavur Bekama Mekaymes. It's explained in many places, by Hefrish Ben Yosef LaShvatim, that Yosef was different than all of his brothers. The fact that they didn't get along is not only because of the things that we see in the Pasuk, that he argued with them, but there's something deeper here. The Avodah of Yosef was very different than the Shvatim, and they did not understand each other. She Yosef, Li Yosef Merkavad Atzilus. Yosef was on a higher level. He was Merkavad Atzilus. He was on a level of Bittul in the world of Atzilus. Lo Hayu Etzlein Yane Elam Hazeh Metzias HaTefeses Mokim. All matters of Elam Hazeh did not take up any place in his life. They did not in any way disturb him. So he was able to be in Olam Hazeh, in Mitzrayim, as a king, the lowest place in the world at that time, and be involved and occupied with all the matters that he needed to as a king. At the same time, he maintained his full dedication and oneness with the Eibishter. It did not affect him whatsoever. He's able to be in Mitzrayim, a king in Mitzrayim, and yet at the same time be fully one with Eibishter. That was Yosef. The Shvatim were on a different level. They're in the world of Bria, where there's a beginning of an existence, of a world that takes up place in their life. A little bit in the world of Bria, that's the Haschala, the Afsharis HaMetzias of Bria. So for them, in order to not become distracted by the world, they have to remove themselves and remain secluded from the world. So therefore they chose as a profession to be shepherds. So that's how they can remain secluded from worldly matters, and they can serve the Eibishter undisturbed. That's the difference between Yosef and his brothers. So now from our Rashi, we can see to what far extent this goes as with Yosef. So that not only does Yosef not get disturbed from serving the Eibishter personally to be connected while he's involved in Olam Hazeh. Yosef was also influential and affected the world around him. He was involved in the world and was influencing the world around him while he was completely one with the Eibishter. Not only this, he also forced all people in Mitzrayim, the lowest place in the world, by making a bris, he's subduing the main clip of Mitzrayim, which is the immorality of Mitzrayim. So Yosef was able to influence them and affect them and elevate the people of Mitzrayim. Va'ad shegam parei ba'atzmai melech Mitzrayim, Parei himself, which is the king of Mitzrayim, tziva aleim l'shmael Yosef olam olas atzmo, also commanded them to make a bris and to follow Yosef's orders. So Yosef was involved in Mitzrayim, he influenced the people of Mitzrayim, and he was connected with Eibishter. He didn't compromise in any way his dveikus to the Eibishter. Adarabah, this was part of his dveikus to be in Mitzrayim and go and be mashpia and bring all people of Mitzrayim to elevate them. This is the lesson we all take from this. Yisrael nikru b'shem Yosef. We find that all Yidden are called with the name Yosef. K'mesh kasev noyeg katzen Yosef. In this pasuk, all Yidden are called Yosef. Ulechem b'koyche shekol echad v'echad lifo b'atzmai be'eze mokm shi'iyah. So every Yid could also affect on himself to bring himself to this level. That gam k'shan shi'am mokim hem b'yiridah g'dayla b'ruchnias. Urechoyke moed miyadas v'cholah. If a person is found in a place and he sees all the people around him are in a very low place, spiritually speaking, very far from Yiddishkeit and so on. Not only should he not get affected by this low reality that he's living with, and not get affected by the gashmius and the chumrius and the place that he's in, and not have a fallen spirit, but even more so, all of his gabe ba'atzma, she yishalim b'teiro mitzvahs, and he has to be strong and be committed to the teiro mitzvahs that he fulfills. But even more than this, el shebekoichai gam lifoil ala olam shemichutzei meno. In that environment, in such a place, a yid has the kayach to be influential on the people around him. The Yidden that are found there, by the proper conduct in this area, he'll be a light not only for Yidden but also a light upon the nations. That the Goyim will also fulfill their mitzvahs, to finally elevate and refine the entire world, and then niske lebias Mashiach tzedkenu, will merit the coming of Mashiach, the fulfillment of the promise. All nations will call out to the Eibishter, and to serve him all together.